We were just talking about it, wondering how you feel about Carolina's celebrations after their games. Some old school folks have thought it'd be. I said older school. I have thought it to be not what they should be doing. This is uncharacteristic of how hockey should be now. I don't know. What do you make of it all?
You know, I guess when I first saw it, I was thought it was a little weird, a little goofy, a little, minor league, but I kind of like it now. I got to tell you, I laughed my butt off the other night when I watched that bowling one. So I thought, if the fans like it, and listen, there's something building in Carolina. I mean, they've made a couple of tough trades that hurt their team. And all of a sudden, they're 4 or 5 points out of a playoff spot. And they've won, consistently. So I think it looks like there's a little bit of team building going on. And you know what? Williams is a guy that I have a lot of respect for the way he's played and handled himself in his career. He's a guy that's heading it up. He's the captain. You know what? I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. As a matter of fact, I thought it was really funny the other night. And I was kind of anticipating watching the game what they're going to do. So, hey, they're playing real well. They're beating some real good teams right now, and they're playing a fast game, and I'm kind of enjoying it.
Doug McLean, our guest. Blues and Capitals play from D.C. tonight, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet. So the Ducks don't win last night. They get a point, but it's 11 straight. They've got 11 straight losses, I think with 3 overtime points. They've gotten 8 of the next 9 on the road. So here's what happens late last night after the game. Bob Murray emails the beat reporters and says he will not fire Randy Carlyle. Just a quote for our listeners at this time: I am not considering a coaching change. I am more focused on our players, specifically with who is going to step up in this situation. Noted that the play was a step in the right direction, but they need much, much more. Nobody wants the vote of confidence per se. You usually don't have to give a vote of confidence if your coach isn't in any trouble. Is the statement a bit surprising to you that they're on an 11-game skid? They're falling right out of a hot air balloon, and there's no end in sight given the games they've got coming up.
Well, I was surprised, and I've never seen it where a GM comes out in a press release and makes a statement like that. I read it last night, and I was kind of impressed by it. I'm thinking, just a minute. I mean, usually you say it. Usually you'll say it to the media. And you'll say, hey, I'm not thinking of a coaching change right now. And you don't believe them most of the time when they say it, right?
Yeah.
You say, oh, he just got a vote of confidence. He's in trouble. But when you put it in a release like this, I was sort of caught off guard and kind of impressed by it. Now, I've watched the team play a fair amount lately, and they've actually played pretty well, and they've played pretty hard, and I thought they should have won a few games. It's a little bit like the Colorado scenario where they're not playing that bad, but they're certainly not getting any wins, and it's tough. I sort of applaud Bob for it. He's got good tenure. He's obviously got an amazing relationship with his owners. Most owners wouldn't put up with it. Most owners would say, we're making a change here, guys. That's where it comes from 90% of the time, not the GM.
But is there a number? This can't go on forever. 12, 13, 14, 15? I mean, at some point, you got to go.
Can't be 12.
That's right. You're right. It can't be 12. It probably can't even be 13.
The number is, before you're eliminated from the playoffs. But you've got a situation going on out there that nobody seems to want to grab those last few spots. Minnesota, streaky. Colorado, where they are. I mean, look at the group out there that are fighting for those wild card spots. None of them seem to want to grab it. So they're still in the mix for a playoff spot. They ran off 9 in a row, wasn't it, that they won when Gibson was standing on his head and they were playing. Getzlaff was playing like a horse. And now this has hit them. So obviously he doesn't have anybody in-house that he can put in there easy either, and he doesn't like the group that's out there that's available right now, obviously.
And it's that one team. I would look at that team and say, if you look at a team that needs some kind of big lottery bounce, and I don't know if Anaheim can get low enough to have a good percentage to be where Ottawa does too, Detroit does too, but maybe more so than some other teams, They need a young star. They can like Nick Ritchie all they want or Brandon Montour, but they don't have very many good players under the age 25. Lindholm and Gibson are about at that edge, and a lot of other teams. They need a young superstar about as much as anybody, to be perfectly honest. They're an old team.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, you got them in Minnesota that are both in, you know, Minnesota, the oldest team in the league, and I don't know, 12 guys over 31, 32, which is unheard of in today's game. So, yeah, they can use it. And Bob's got enough. You know what? He's been 1,000 games as a GM. Obviously, the Samuelis trust him totally. Most guys can't get away with it.
Question on Columbus. You know the market really well. I heard you guys at noon the other day when the Bobrovsky news broke. And Elliot and I discussed it with Elliot Freeman Friday. I feel almost like the Islanders and Gar Snow probably, I don't know if we'd say should have felt last year, Doug, about Tavares, but if you can't get pen to paper on either of these guys, I'm punting. I cannot go to, I know I get the idea how the fan base would feel, oh my goodness, what are you doing trading Panarin or Bobrovsky or both, but I cannot watch them walk away from this team and leave me with zilch in the summer. I cannot count on somehow beating the Penguins in the first round with the players they have and getting it. You know how it is there. They haven't won a playoff round ever, and I'm not sure this year will be the year. I have to provide for the future. What would you do here?
I do what they're going to do, and that is they're going to keep Bobrovsky and go through the deadline with him and hope that he can get them in the playoffs, number one. They're not in yet, and they've got to get in. So I would keep him through the deadline. And then I would move him if he won't sign. I would move him, you know, for the third round pick or whatever you get for him. And I'd do everything in my power to get Panarin signed, which is what they're going to try to do. And the plan would be that Bobrovsky walks and Panarin, hopefully they are able to get him done. They feel reasonably confident they might be able to do that. I don't know. But you know what? You're trading Bobrovsky as a rental. He I guarantee he's not going to give, you know, negotiating rights to get a big price for him. So I'd keep him. That's what I'd do. It's easy. It's easy for all of us to say, punt them and take the first round pick. They got all kinds of young prospects. They got all kinds of young players. They've got to have a little bit of a run. And the idea is if they win a couple rounds, Bobrovsky resigns.
I had saved the distinction because I brought up Ryan Miller. And in retrospect, that's not a great example because Buffalo was quote unquote tanking. Buffalo was down there. Right. Buffalo had, so they traded Ryan Miller to St. Louis and got a lot back for him. They really did. But that's not the scenario Columbus is in. Columbus is in, get in, see what happens. They were up 2-0 on Washington last year. Get a couple home playoff dates and see if they can get out of that first round. Well, they have to.
Yeah, they desperately want to get out of the first round. And I'll tell you why. Them going against Pittsburgh the way Columbus is playing right now, that's not a gimme for Pittsburgh, trust me. That is not a gimme for Pittsburgh with the way Columbus have played most of the season. But it's up to Bobrovsky. But, they're thinking if they get a couple of rounds, maybe both of them stay. That may very well happen. Everybody said it's a given Bobrovsky's gone. Who's giving him $10 million? He wants $10.3 million. Who's doing that?
I know.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, if he gets 7 or 7.5, I think he's hit a home run. Now you got Philly out there. That are probably going to take a run at Quick, as Nick had reported on, you know, a few weeks ago. So I guess, I mean, Leonard is standing on his head in the Islanders. There's a lot of rumors he may go to the Islanders. But, I mean, why is anybody giving Bobrovsky unless he wins? So I'm telling you, it's easy for GM, for us to be in the media, say, oh, dump them. It's a lot different if you're in that market. And I wouldn't if I was in.
Yeah. Okay. We got a minute. I was just wondering about the Leafs goaltender situation, what they're going to do. We mentioned earlier this morning, Hutchinson plays 10 games. You got to put him on waivers. You can't send Sparks out without putting him on waivers. What do they do? Because if they put either of these guys on waivers, their depth in goaltending is now in question.
Yeah. So you play Sparks until you figure out what you're going to do with Hutchinson and see where Sparks is, because you can't afford to play Hutchinson and then have to put him on waivers and lose him. You, right now, you can't afford to do that. So you got to bide yourself some time here. So I don't put Hutchinson on waivers, and I put Sparks in and see where it goes. As long as they got the roster space, I keep them both for right now and let them fight it out.